Today we celebrate the Solemnity of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's a solemnity for us Franciscans here in Griswold, Connecticut, because this chapel is dedicated, our chapel and our friary is dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we have this beautiful church here dedicated to her with the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the center above the tabernacle, front and center, and which is a symbol, an image of Our Lady's motherly care for us. Our Lady is Guadalupe, is a patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, because she helped put an end to the human sacrifices in Mexico City, where the Aztecs were killing the neighboring Indian tribes, and she put an end to that in the 16th century, a little before. But when we think of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we think of the image, this image on the Tilma of Juan Diego, with Our Lady there, with the sun behind her, and with that bluish-green mantle and sort of pinkish-red tunic, and with the Indian angel that looks somewhat like an Indian underneath her feet, holding up a banner. That's what we think of generally. We think of the apparition of Our Lady to Juan Diego, Our Lady of Guadalupe, but perhaps we don't, or many people don't know the story or the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe, how she appeared to Juan Diego and what manner, how she spoke to him, what happened when she appeared to him, how he saw her on the hill of Tepeyac in Mexico City, and the whole story behind it, how he was traveling from his home to go to Mass and to go to catechism to learn more about our faith. And he passed by this Tepeyac hill, and Our Lady came down, and she was brilliant. Brilliant light, and everything around her looked like jewels because of the light that was flashed on all the rocks and the little crawling animals and the little trees and bushes, and everything looked like sparkling gold. And he could hear beautiful music of birds chirping and beautiful heavenly music around the scene. And then she comes down and speaks to him in such tender terms, Juanito, Juan Dieguito, she called him, and he spoke to her in these tender terms of a son, of even an older brother, calling her my little daughter, my little queen, my little lady, my virgin. And he spoke, and just their conversation was so tender and so beautiful. And I'll read a little bit of the story. But the main message here in Our Lady of Guadalupe is underlining Our Lady's maternal care for the human race, for all of us, for the Indians first, who were being oppressed by the Spanish conquistadors, and before that by the Aztecs. And she comes with her compassion, her love, her motherly love, her care, and her willingness to help, to protect them, to be there for them, and how she so much wanted the people to come to her with all their weepings and their complaints and their sorrows and hardships and sufferings. All of this she mentions, how she wanted everyone to come to her. She really shows her and how she wants to show her all of her love, all of her compassion to those who come to her, especially in this place where she wanted a church to be built on this Tepeyac Hill. And she's sending Juan Diego on the mission to go to the bishop and ask him to build a chapel on this hill. That was the message. And that was his mission, so he went to the bishop. And at first he didn't believe relieve him and said, come back another day when I have more leisure time. And so he went back to Our Lady and said to Our Lady that he didn't believe me and send somebody more important than me. I'm only a follower. I'm only an insignificant man, he said. And so Our Lady said, no, I want you to go, and I want you to go back again tomorrow and tell him that I would like a chapel here built in my honor where I can care for the people. So he went back again, and the bishop was more ready to believe him then, but said, I need a sign from her. So he said, okay. So he went back to Our Lady, and Our Lady said, yes, I will provide him a sign tomorrow. So you come back here tomorrow. So Juan Diego went back home that night, and his uncle was deathly ill and sick, and the local physician was not able to heal him, so he was planned to go back to the city to find a priest to bring back to him, give him the last rites, prepare him for death. So it was a very serious situation. So he went in haste, and he was trying to avoid Our Lady. So he went around the hill to avoid her so that he could get a priest quickly. But Our Lady came and intercepted him and spoke in tender terms again. What are you doing? Why? Where are you going? What is disturbing you? And he explained to Our Lady that his uncle was deathly ill. And Our Lady comforted him and said, I will heal him. Don't worry. Now you go to the bishop and tell him again that I want this chapel built, but before that, you go up to this hill, and this was in the middle of winter time, the frost where nothing could ever grow on the hill. But Our Lady said, go up there and pick all the beautiful flowers you can and bring them down to me. So he did, and he cut all kinds of Castilian roses and beautiful different variety of flowers and put them into his tilma, brought them to Our Lady, and Our Lady fixed them, arranged them in his tilma, and said, you go to the bishop. And so he did, and then he knelt down before the bishop and said, I asked Our Lady to give me a sign, and she did, and here's the sign, all these beautiful roses. And he let them fall on the floor, and as they fell, the bishop could see the beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe on his tilma. And then the bishop knelt down on his knees, got down on his knees, and all his people, all his staff members knelt down too, and they worshipped, and he wept for not believing, and called the whole city, and the whole city was in celebration the image was taken in procession, and then all the Indians saw Our Lady as their mother and was celebrating. And from then on, Juan Diego had this mission to teach the Indians the Catholic faith. And after a period of years, it is said that 9 million Indians were converted and baptized to the Catholic faith. And on the other side of the world, there was the Protestant Reformation, a revolution that was happening, where about 9 million Catholics fell away from the faith into heresy. So it was interesting how Our Lady was making up for that in this other side of the world, in Mexico. But the message here is again, Our Lady's compassion, Our Lady's motherly care for us, and how earnestly she desires to come to our help and to our aid. So I'll read what Our Lady said to him first, when she first met him, and she said, know for sure, my dearest, littlest, and youngest son, that I am the perfect and ever virgin Holy Mary, Mother of God of truth, Mother of the God of truth, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things near us, the Lord of heaven and earth. I want very much to have a little house built here for me, in which I will show him, I will exalt him, and make him manifest. I will give him to the people in all my personal love, in my compassion, in my help, in my protection, because I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all the other people of different ancestries, my lovers who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me. Here I will hear all their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings, and to bring about what my compassionate and merciful concern is trying to achieve. You must go to the residence of the Bishop of Mexico and tell him that I sent you to show him how strongly I wish him to build me a temple here on the plain. You will report to him exactly all you have seen, admired, and what you have heard. Know for sure I will appreciate it very much, be grateful, and reward you. And you will deserve very much the reward I will give you for your fatigue, the work and trouble that my mission will cause you. Now, my dearest son, you have heard my breath, my word. Go now and put forth your best effort. And then when he went to the bishop, and after the second time he went back home and he was all concerned about his dying uncle, he came back and Our Lady intercepted him and said to him, "Listen, put it into your heart, my youngest and dearest son, that the thing that disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you, is nothing. Do not let your countenance, your heart, be disturbed. Do not fear this sickness of your uncle, or any other sickness, nor anything that is sharp or hurtful. Am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Let nothing else worry you, disturb you. Do not let your uncle's illness worry you, because he will not die now. You may be certain that he is already well." So we hear the words of Our Lady, her compassion, her motherly care, and of course we should take consolation from that, and we should be encouraged to turn to Our Lady in our sorrows and worries, and this will cause us to overcome our anxieties and cause us not to be too disturbed by our worries. But it's a matter of knowing Our Lady's motherly care for us, knowing it, believing it, trusting it, and then turning to her. We don't always turn to Our Lady in our worries because of maybe it's too much effort, or we don't trust her, we don't believe, or we prefer to do things ourselves. We believe and trust in ourselves. But in the end, things don't turn out as well, and then we are all disturbed and full of anxiety. We don't always have hope because we don't believe or we don't turn to Our Lady. So with the beautiful message of Our Lady is telling us in this message of Guadalupe, we have that encouragement and that consolation and that encouragement to turn to her and to believe in her motherly care. And so we just have to have that recourse to her, to turn to her in our needs and sufferings, and then find the consolation that she will give us.